October 8th, George Washington Carver. Welcome to 365 Christian Men, where every day we aim to inspire and encourage with real-life stories about men. Carver was an American professor, agricultural scientist, and inventor. When he was young, he was known as the plant doctor. He said, "Often people would say to me, 'George, my fern is sick. See what you can do with it.' At this time, I had never heard of botany and could scarcely read." But he got the plants healthy again. Carver went on to invent many important things, including 300 peanut-related products. But he sought only 3 patents. He actively promoted alternate crops to cotton and methods to prevent soil depletion. He appeared before the House Ways and Means Committee and provided vital information that well served Southern farmers. Carver was the most prominent black scientist of the early 20th century. Carver connected with Booker T. Washington, Henry Ford, President Franklin Roosevelt, and Mahatma Gandhi. And when Thomas Edison offered Carver a 6-figure job, Carver turned it down. And on this date, in 1896, he arrived to teach at Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute. And nobody was talking about 6 figures. The true measure of a man's success is found in his willingness to serve others. George Washington Carver stared at the invitation to join the faculty of the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute in Alabama. It was the first major educational institution in the South to hire black faculty, and its goal was to develop black leaders. But George had no desire to return to the South. He reread Booker T. Washington's letter. "I cannot offer you money, position, or fame. These things I now ask you to give up. I offer you in their place work, hard, hard work, the task of bringing a people from degradation, poverty, and waste to full manhood. Your department exists only on paper, and your laboratory will have to be in your head." George had fought hard to get where he was, the first black man to earn a master's degree from Iowa State College, and he now served on its faculty, the first black college instructor in the whole state of Iowa. He had overcome isolation, hunger, and discrimination, and struggled for years to gain acceptance based on his achievements, not the color of his skin. But the invitation haunted him. He thought about a scripture he had loved even before he could read, one his foster mother, Susan Carver, had taught him. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. The students of Tuskegee Institute, just one generation from slavery, were technically free, but society and the students' own perceptions held them back. Who would teach them that as God's treasured creations, they were free to dream? Who saw and encouraged their talents, their curiosity? George sensed God's call to Tuskegee. This decision wasn't only about logic. It was also about living out his faith in service to God and others. This was the true measure of success. George accepted the new job where he employed all the knowledge he had gained, not only in his education, but also in his years of struggle. He turned a swamp into an agricultural testing site and developed a lab from items he'd found in trash heaps. He conducted experiments on top of teaching science and agriculture. He also taught weekly Bible studies. He wanted his students to see themselves as valued children who were full of potential. Potential that, when surrendered to their Creator, could take them beyond their dreams and help them serve others. Farmers, both black and white, succeeded using George's methods. He taught crop rotation and explained that planting sweet potatoes and legumes, like peanuts, would return needed nutrients to worn-out cotton fields. When the farmers didn't know what to do with the peanuts they grew, George developed more than 300 uses for them. When he'd arrived at Tuskegee in 1896, the peanut was not recognized as a U.S. crop. But by 1940, it had become one of the 6 leading crops in the nation. To better serve farmers, George designed a traveling classroom and a wagon so representatives from Tuskegee could go directly to the farms. Though Booker had not promised him fame, fame came to George anyway. By 1905, most people in America and across the world knew the name George Washington Carver. He took Booker's last name for his middle name. By the 1920s, George had entertained Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, and other notable leaders. As George's success grew, people sometimes urged him to update his lifestyle, including his wardrobe and living arrangements. But George refused. He told them it didn't matter how much money people had in the bank or what type of automobile they drove. "These mean nothing," he said. "It's simply service that measures success." How do you measure success? The true measure of a man's success is found in his willingness to serve others.
Hi, this is Michael Borner with Mission 17. And some of these stories are just so extraordinary and humbling to listen to. And we've just witnessed one of them featuring the amazing George Washington Carver. This man was a luminary who, against all odds, rose to greatness. But what made his journey truly unusual was not just his many accomplishments, but the character in which he pursued them. The quote from Carver that really hits home is when he said, "It's not the style of our clothes one wears, neither the kind of automobile one drives, nor the amount of money one has in the bank that counts. It's how we treat people." Oh, and in today's world where we often chase after material wealth and status, let's pause and reflect on Carver's words. He saw beyond the superficial, focusing instead on knowledge, humility, and Christ-centered service to others. His legacy isn't just the innovations he left behind, but the ethos he embodied. And as we move forward in our own lives, let's challenge ourselves. What truly defines us? Is it the accolades, the possessions, the titles, or is it the compassionate kindness we extend, the wisdom we share, and the difference we make in the lives of others? Let's allow Carver's journey to inspire us to cultivate the true and authentic richness of God's spirit and purpose inside us. And in the end, our legacy is not what we have, but who we are and the positive impact Christ has made through us.